Diary, Thoughts on 1 Timothy 2 and 3. Los Angeles, California. Spoke in the tent at Los Angeles to a large audience in regard to the duty of parents to their children. I spoke 1 hour Friday morning at 6:15. I could but urge on the parents the necessity of the education of their children, for this is the very foundation stone for the building of the character. This is the great, important work for the parents in their home life. In no way can this work be neglected. The Holy Spirit in warnings and reproof. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1-8. There is the plan of God, the ministry of His Word. Study His Word with prayerful diligence. Show your consecration to God's Word. Obedience, virtue, prudence, and piety are to be presented from the Scriptures as the obligation of every human being. Each has an accountability to God. This needs to be urged upon the consciences of men. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4-5. This is an all-important point, that all human agencies, in the church and in families, are to receive that education which will lead every member of the church to study the Scriptures for themselves, that they may not dishonor God by looking to human agencies to stand between them and God, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, minister, and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but, which becometh women professing godliness, with good works. Verses 6-10. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? 1 Timothy 3, verse 1-5. Here is an important subject which needs careful study. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, those not of our faith. Verses 6 and 7. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, men who speak fair words to your face, and criticize and speak disparagingly of you when not in your presence. There are many of these. They do not have that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Selfishness and self-confidence have deceived them. Not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Verses 8-10. If they are faithful in their Christian duties in less responsible positions, then they will be faithful in the larger and more responsible positions. After they have given evidence that they do fear God, and that they are constantly walking in humility and love of the truth, then they may be where they are willing to be counseled and bear higher responsibilities, which qualify them for the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Verse 10. In this trial and proof of God, by showing faithfulness in the smaller duties, they are better prepared for the increased obligation as deacons of the churches. Now, all these specifications are made to reveal the process of education, beginning with the home training, of those who are to be entrusted with the grave responsibilities of every office connected with the church. Those who show a remiss experience in the responsible duties in the home life will reveal the same defective character in the management of the church duties. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11-13. Here we have the character of a gospel minister. Timothy was an evangelist, and he was to instruct those newly come to the faith in all practical godliness. Here is the sum and substance of the sacredness of the work and service of God. There has been altogether too little regard to the instruction given to those who are placed in responsible positions. Wherever there are men who are placed in positions of stewardship in the church, or in any of our offices of publication, or in the educating of students in our schools, this, the Word of God, is to be ever brought to bear upon every individual worker, that all these precautions shall be vigilantly kept in mind, what is expected in the character of one who labors in word and doctrine. Timothy had been so earnest a learner of Paul that he was to take charge of the church and call their attention to the words of Paul, and keep them before their minds and set them in order. Men who were evangelists were appointed to labor with the churches, for the office of a bishop was one that required the men in special office to have a fitness for the work, which required diligence, consecration, and faithfulness in the home life. If this was defective, then their children were not educated and trained to understand they have a part to act, a cheerful part, in ministering according to their ability in connection with their parents, to act as if they were a part of the great firm. With all the cautions given, we are to be constantly striving for a more perfect character, for the preparation for the higher school in heaven. Regarding Dr. Kellogg and the need to harmonize. Los Angeles, California, August 17, 1901. We had a large audience, the large tent crowded full. I spoke from Isaiah 58, and what a chapter of reproof, of correction in righteousness, of plainly marking out the way of the Lord. It is not merely profession and zeal in a false faith, but it is practical godliness. It is Bible religion. It is doing justice and mercy, and ever elevating the purest principles of the kingdom of God. The greatest glory Kellogg can bring to God is to read, and that attentively, the 78th Psalm. Had you honored God in the place of branching out in consulting lawyers? God has been greatly displeased with your going to the God of Ekron to inquire by your consulting lawyers. You have given a wrong example in leaning on the arm of the law rather than coming in harmony with the church. Read. This was composed into song, and as they were marching in the wilderness, they were to keep time in step as they journeyed. The Lord would have you unite more than you have done with ministers of the gospel, and He would have ministers of the gospel change their attitude toward Dr. Kellogg. For some ministers have blocked the way of health reform, and the Lord has not, neither will He, vindicate the course of the ministers or members of the church in giving to the world a testimony of division on the subject of health reform. God demands you to come together, harmonize, come into line. The work you have undertaken in various lines is not your work. He never appointed that as your work. All these written documents, drawn up and supposed to be a means of uniting, has worked the opposite of what God designed it should be. The spirituality of His law and commandments, of that which should be brought into the sanitarium, is a sort of strange thing. All these things were making this food question a commercial enterprise. Better, far better, had the sanitarium stood on the true principles of health reform. Unless you are converted, you will give up point after point of present truth.